or may not know exactly what I am, who I am, and how I exist. But if they worship me with unalloyed love, then I consider them to be the best devotees. Please repeat. My devotees may or may not know exactly what I am.
My devotees may or may not know exactly who I am.
Who I am,
who I am,
and how I exist.
And how I exist.
But if they worship me with unalloyed love,
but if they worship me with unalloyed love,
then I consider them to be the best devotees. According to Srila Vishnath Chakravarti Thakur, although Yavan indicates that Lord Krishna cannot be limited by time or space, he becomes limited by the love of his pure devotees. For example, Lord Krishna never steps one foot out of Vrindavan. Sounds good.
Vrindavanam gacha di.
Vrindavanam parityaja ekam pada nagacchati.
Because of the intense love of its inhabitants for him. In this way, the Lord comes under the control of his devotees' love. The word yaha indicates that Krishna is the absolute truth, who appears as the son of Vasudev, or Shamasundar. Yadrasha indicates that the Lord is Atmarama, or completely self-satisfied, and also Aptakama, or one who automatically fulfills all of his desires. Still being affected by the love of his devotees, the Lord sometimes appears to be Atmarama, Atma, boy, Anat, Anatmarama, or dependent on the love of his devotees, and Anaptakama, or unable to achieve his desire without the cooperation of his devotees. Actually, the Supreme Lord, Krishna, is always independent, but he reciprocates the intense love of his devotees and thus appears to be dependent on them. Just as he apparently became dependent on Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda during his childhood pastimes in Vrindavan. The word ajnatva, inexperienced, lacking knowledge, indicates that sometimes a devotee may not have a proper philosophical understanding of the personality of Godhead, or due to love, may temporarily forget the Lord's position. So here we have two different kinds of ajnatva here being discussed. One is where somebody may not have a fully developed and like logical sense of who Krishna is according to Euclidean geometry or something like that, but he knows from his heart, you know, that Krishna is very good. Madhyamadhikari, he's convinced about the process. If I just follow this process, everything will become clear. I have so many doubts, I have many different things that I don't know about. It's like in the beginning. Arjuna has so many doubts, so many questions. You know, he asks Krishna again and again in Bhagavad Gita. In the second chapter, he surrenders. Sisyas teham sadimam tam papanam. I am your disciple, I am surrendered to you, please instruct me. Okay. Then Krishna instructs him, but he doesn't understand everything right away. That's not surprising. So he has doubts, he has questions. So then Krishna clears those up, they go back and forth again and again and again and again. So in this Madhyamadhikari level, we're convinced about the process. I don't know all these things. I can't answer all your questions, but I've got a real taste of how it works. I've seen somebody do it, and so I'm convinced about this process. So it says the word ajnatva, inexperienced or lacking knowledge, indicates that sometimes a devotee may not have a proper philosophical understanding of the personality of Godhead. I see more logical. Or due to love, may temporarily forget the Lord's position. So this is a different kind of ignorance. This is more on the basis of yoga maya, right? Out of his intense affection to see Krishna in a certain form like that, to serve Krishna in a certain form, then he may forget that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In Vrindavan, Krishna tries to convince people that he's God. He shows universal form, so many things like that. But nobody ever becomes convinced. You know, the cowherd boys, they laugh. They think, wow, that was really wonderful. You know, did Nanda Maharaj teach you how to do that? Can you also show us how to do that? You know? And so sometimes even Krishna himself begins to doubt if he's actually God or not. You know? Maybe I'm not God. You know? No, I'm God. Maybe I'm not. Well, anyway, whatever. It's time to take the cows home. You know, like that. So this is the yoga maya. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj says that Krishna, Krishna's devotee, and devotional service, these three all come together and dance. And nobody can quite tell who's in control. Yeah. Sometimes Krishna's the boss, sometimes Radharani is the boss, sometimes Purnamasi, Yogamaya, is the boss, like that. And it's a dance, you know. But everybody is, nobody is like trying to control anybody else to exploit them. That's the material world. Control means to exploit people. But there, the control is to try and control people to increase everybody's happiness, satisfaction, like that. Now, so then in the Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada quotes here, Arjuna says, Sakati Mahva Prasabham Yaruktam, Hey Krishna, Hey Yadava, Hey Sakati, Anyata Mahimanam Tavedam, Maya Pramadhat Panayena Vapi. I have in the past addressed you as, O Krishna, O Yadava, O my friend, without knowing your glories. Please forgive whatever I may have done in madness or in love. End quote. Arjuna's words, Ajanata Mahimanam, have the same meaning as Krishna's words, Agyatvamam, in this verse of the Bhagavatam. Oh, okay. Both indicate incomplete understanding of Krishna's glories. In Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna says, Pranayena, his forgetfulness of Krishna's supreme position was caused by his love for him. In this verse, Krishna excuses such lapses on the part of his devotee with the words Agnyavamam, which indicates that even though devotees may not fully appreciate his exalted position, Krishna accepts their loving service. Thus, this verse clearly reveals the supreme position of bhakti. Now, Krishna also states in Bhagavad Gita 11:54, Bhaktyatvananyaya saka traka aham evang vidho juna jnatum drastum chitatvena praveshtum ta parantapa. My dear Arjuna, this is after after seeing the universal form. Then Krishna explains how to see him. This is after the Samyabhapu too, also, no? Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's seen the universal form, he's seen the four-armed form, now the two-armed form, so beautiful. And he says, my dear Arjuna, only by undivided devotional service can I be understood as I am, standing before you, and can thus be seen directly. Only in this way can you enter into the mysteries. Boy, my mind is working in Spanish. It's misteriosos. The mysteries of my understanding. Also, we went to the airport on Sunday. I started traveling from Chosica at 2 o'clock. Got to Lima, met with 1,000 people at the last minute. Maharaj, just 5 minutes. 5 minutes, Maharaj. Okay. Then went to the airport to check in at 9 o'clock at night. And they said, well, your plane's a little bit delayed. Well, how much? 14 hours. Okay, all right, yeah. So they had to go stay someplace, you know, camp out, get up, go back to the airport, get in the airplane, fly here 8 hours with, I don't know, the Godfather playing or something like that. Terminator 14, like that. Take her chicken. Then we arrived at, what was it, 9 o'clock last night? Yeah, 9 o'clock, we had to drive all the way here last night, got here, slept 3 hours, got up and came to the morning program. So my mind is kind of like, but I'm not my mind. It's the tool we use sometimes. Although one may develop innumerable saintly qualities, as listed in the last verses, one must understand the personality of God as He is and love Him.
Mm. Although
one may develop innumerable saintly qualities without love of Krishna, one will not achieve complete success. Although one may develop innumerable saintly qualities without love of Krishna, one will not achieve complete success. One must understand the personality of Godhead as He is and love Him. Even if one is not capable of analytically understanding the position of God, if one simply loves Krishna, then one is certainly perfect. Many of the residents of Vrindavan had no idea that Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead, nor did they know of Krishna's potency or incarnations. They simply loved Krishna with all their hearts and souls, and therefore they are considered the most perfect. Yeah. So this is, of course, a really fundamental topic is knowledge. Right? Everywhere. It's just unlimited like that. And animals have to acquire knowledge. I guess bacteria don't acquire knowledge like that. Amoebas. You know? Somebody did some scientific study about what percentage of the body is dedicated to sense gratification. Like, you know, tasting something nice, having sexual relations. And amoebas, it's like 40% of their body surface is dedicated to enjoying sense gratification. So if you really want to enjoy sense gratification, you should become an amoeba. And you can just merge into it. You can smear your body with burfi and everything else like that. Like that. So we do it. We go down slowly, but finally we get ready. We just decide this is the best deal like that. You know? So, you know, I guess amoebas don't acquire much knowledge. But you see animals, calves, cows, dogs, they all acquire knowledge. You know? And so then there's, in the human form of life, there's so much more discussion about what is knowledge. Radhika Raman, our good disciple from Oxford, he was teaching at the University of Gainesville. And the university published this magazine, you know, to stimulate their alumni to give money, you know. And so they're showing all the great things they're doing. What to speak of anything religious, forget that. What to speak of anything philosophical? They must have a department of philosophy. They didn't mention that at all. They didn't even mention the social sciences, history, you know, sociology, you know, literature. All they mentioned was technology. Technology. And even science, because Prabhupada said that science is also, theoretical science is in a real quandary also. It's not making much progress anymore. String theory and things like this have just become big intellectual games. You know? And so it was coming down, fundamental science is gone. So all they were talking about is all their accomplishments in technology, how they can do different things. They're training people to do things. And what is the height of their technology? Face re-emplacement.
Oh, face
replacement. Face replacement. Yeah, you're going to get Gainesville, one of the leaders in face replacement, like that.
So, if you don't like this one, you can get a new one? Or?
No, I guess you get a burned one. It's not all that good, but it works, you know. It's better than the one with the...
Gasoline, actually.
Yeah.
The new one is Gasoline. I saw a picture yesterday.
Oh, yeah?
They haven't got it down yet.
Okay, but they're the leaders in face replacement. And soon we'll give it. So donate more if you want to improve face replacement. Yeah. So actually, we give lectures on this many times. It's like a nice topic of what is an educated man. You know, it's a very nice topic. There's so many discussion. In South America, there's so many programs or universities like that, everything. And so here, of course, this is a point that, you know, the Vedic education is spiral, right? It's the same thing again and again. But higher, different perspectives like that. So the same points are being discussed in the Bhagavad Gita. You know? Because right now, science has been so powerful, establishing our perspective of life, of reality. Tamal Krishnamurti has told me that Prabhupada said over and over again for his entire last year, scientific preaching is my number one preaching program. You know? But he also said in Cheviot Hills, whether you preach or not, it will be finished. I think he said it 30 years like that. So it's really come down. You know? But still, people, they think knowledge is a really important thing. You know, there's so much money in the universities, everything else, to get knowledge. You know? But our point is that knowledge comes automatically from devotion, bhakti. So it's a very important point to consider that we're not talking about blind faith. Right? Bhagavad Gita 4:34, in the purport, Prabhupada says, blind faith is condemned. Like that. I saw one big Mormon movie, a lot of money put into it about, it was to costumes according to the time, everything else. And it was right after Jesus Christ had disappeared, and Doubting Thomas was there about how do you believe, why do you believe, all these kind of things, you know, and they were going back and forth and, you know, serving bread and fish and talking. And finally, their conclusion was you had to have blind faith. Is that you had to have blind faith. Soren Kierkegaard, right, big existentialist, he said you have to have this leap of faith. You know, you have to. It's like you're hanging over 10,000 fathoms of water with no support, and then you can know God like that. But no, this is not, we don't reject this. We condemn it. You know, and because of this, people do all these fanatical things, right? Horrible things. No, Krishna always gives us enough knowledge. That's not the problem. The problem is whether or not you're going to actually apply it or not. You know you should stop smoking, and you know you can probably do it, but... So bhakti then, do you actually do it? Yeah. Prahlad Maharaj, little boy. He's like 5 years old, right? And his father's trying to annihilate him every way possible, you know. He can't do it, and so finally his father is sitting there looking at him, you know, drinking, I guess, and staring at him, you know. And he says, "Where does your power come from, Prahlad?" And Prahlad says, "My power comes from the same source as your power, everybody's power, Vishnu," like that. So Ranikasipu asks, "Where is this God of yours, Prahlad? Is he in this microphone stand?" And then, it wasn't that Prahlad had blind faith and said, "Yes, he's everywhere," you know, like that. His problem is he looked like that, a little boy. And God Narsingadev was making his presence felt. And so then when Prahlad looked, he didn't say, "No, he's not there, You know? He actually looked and he was bhakta, devotee. He said, "Yes, he's there," like that. You know? So that's the situation of knowledge. I was thinking maybe we could do Nectar of Light of Bhagavat tonight, Nectar of Instruction the next night, and Nectar of Devotion the last night. And kind of our we have a series in Bhaktivedanta College like that. And so here the word, to me, this word Ananya Bhavena, right? Ananya Bhavena. Because we go from, what's it called? We go forward, we develop knowledge, and because of that, Bahunam Javanam Ante, Ganabam Mam Prabhajate. You're forcing your teacher to do this work? Okay, yeah. But by cultivating knowledge, then we become devotees. Like that, you know? And then the devotional service is divided in three levels, you know, as via sadhana bhakti, bhava bhakti, and prema bhakti. So following all the rules and regulations, trying to follow the footsteps of great devotees, we can actually come to bhava bhakti, which is this feeling is there, this sentiment, you know. And that in terms is divided into vibhava, anubhava, sattvika bhava, vyabhichari bhava, sthayi bhava. Very detailed science, no? Like that. So in some ways here, ananya bhavena is almost like shantaras.
Right.
Almost like shantaras. Ananya means undeviating. But there's not developed so much. You know, I work for the bank, they pay me. What are you going to do? I don't know. But they offer me a job, that means they pay me and I work, you know. I could be a guard, I could be a teller, I could be the president, I don't know, accountant, like that. So detachment from matter, attachment to Krishna, appreciating how great Krishna is, undeviating. You know? And then the bhava. You know? So at that point, when you get this ananya bhava, well, why do you get it? What is the stimulus? What's the Sanskrit word for the stimulus?
Huh?
Or alambana.
Alambana.
Either one. Yeah. Vibhava. And the vibhava is there. Krishna is the aggressor. Krishna is the person who stimulates us. And then because of that, we reciprocate. We respond with vibhichari bhava, sattvika bhava, different things like that. You know? And then knowledge just comes right along with that. And detachment from matter, jnana and vairagya, they just come right along with that. When you've got this reciprocation with Krishna, when you're dancing with Krishna, when you're playing ping pong with Krishna, it's just you know Krishna. You can't think about it. You haven't got time to work on that level. You know, it's just direct knowledge. It comes with bhakti automatically. You know? My devotees may or may not know exactly what I am, who I am, and how I exist, but if they worship me with unalloyed love, then I consider them to be the best of devotees. So we don't have to respond to the vibhava. Usually we're not. You know, we don't have to respond to this Krishna's stimulus, Krishna's form, Krishna's name, Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's devotees, Krishna's temple. You know, all these things, we don't have to. But if we do that, you know, out of our choice, our free will, then all these things happen. There's juice is produced, rasa, yeah, and then automatically, then we know them. We know Krishna like that. Yeah? But we may not know him analytically with jnana, these kind of things like that. It's in the purport it says that analytical knowledge like that. So that's about as much as I can, understand the present here. Anybody any comments then? Yes, sir.
I have a question.
A question.
Is that okay?
Yeah, sure.
You mentioned that as we engage in devotional service, the knowledge comes naturally, and we don't have to worry about all this analytical knowledge. But the Bhagavatam is filled with that. If you go through the third canto, sixth canto, there's so many details that we're meant to study into before we get to the tenth canto. So how do we reconcile this idea of, I just want to chant, you know, and all, everything will come, the problem of presenting of the books, and the classes, and the study, and the tests, and the question. How do we balance those two?
It's a big question. Okay. No, but you can read the Bhagavatam and not understand anything. So this is karma, doing it, karma yoga, just do it. And one time Prabhupada said, don't come to these classes just as a ritual. He's looking at everybody, says, all right, come as a ritual. He said, but try to learn something, you know? So then we go from karma, mishra bhakti yoga to jnana mishra bhakti yoga, and now we have some understanding of what's going on. Even though it's not our nature, we can do the service. I don't like it exactly and stuff, but it has to be done. I know that. I understand. Okay. And then we can actually come to the point of actually contemplating the service. We've got it under control, our focus like that, and we can just really, you know, there's some jhana, Mishra Bhakti Yoga. And then finally we come to real bhakti, where we're manipulating the actual mellows or whatever, different levels like that. So I would say it's like that. That an advanced devotee, in the beginning, he goes, yeah, now it's okay, it's all analytical, it's very nice, like that. But now he starts to get into the mellows of the presentation like that, you know? And so Srimad Bhagavatam is full of those velocities, velocidades.
We know what you mean.
Yeah, I know. I speak Spanish. Bilingual. You're a bilingual world here, right, San Diego?
Well, we get those.
Yeah, most of the words are Latin anyway. Yeah. Whenever I come back to South America, it takes like about 3 weeks before my mind stops, you know, working Spanish. Yes, sir. Yeah.
Are you saying that we can play ping pong? Does Krishna play ping pong? That's a separate issue. All sports originally come from Sai. Yeah. But you know, can I play ping pong and say I'm playing ping pong with Krishna?
Well, okay. This is a subtle point too. Again, to mayatatambi dam sarvam jagadavyakte murtina mastani sarvabhutani nacham tishu vasitaha. So the one. Camera. My mind's not working now.
Next verse.
The verse that Narayana Maharaj says, the verse that once the Prabhupada Gaudiya said, none of us know. The definition of bhakti. 1-1-1-1-1. Bhakti Rasa Yasuda 1-1-1-1-1. Anyabhilasita shunyam gana karmani navita mamata. So there, in one sense, he tries to say, well, yeah, anything is Krishna, so ultimately we're all playing ping pong with Krishna. But usually in our status, we limit it to Krishna, Krishna's incarnations, and Krishna's higher devotees like that. So usually, though, in our status, we can't say that, you know, we're doing it with Krishna unless we're actually doing it with Krishna, Krishna's incarnations, or his more advanced devotees like that. So sometimes Prabhupada would play with the children, right? He'd play leapfrog and things like that. So would they play in leapfrog with Krishna, little children? Yeah, they were in ecstasy playing leapfrog like that. Yeah. We was coming to South America, and very nice 3 months there, and very nice programs like that. We try and do a few of them here. But one of the programs we've been doing is in science, technology. We developed the Bhaktivedanta Institute. We have our own background in science and university and stuff like that. So finally, out of a lot of different shows and stuff we've done in South America, Radhika's brother, Gopal Hari, also in Oxford, we brought him there with Ananta Roop. Everybody was there traveling together. And I said, he wanted to know what to do, and I suggested, well, why don't you talk about philosophical perspective of Sir Isaac Newton? So we were traveling doing a PowerPoint show, many universities and things like that, called Sir Isaac Newton, the Second Apple, like that. And it was very good, very popular, and very educated, very lively, you know. So I synthesized that in our previous presentations. We did many presentations with big universities down there. We have a nonprofit educational corporation in Tennessee, NEOS, North American Institute for Oriental and Classical Studies. So with that as a cat's paw, then we present in the universities like that. So we had a 3-year contract, convenio, with San Marcos University in Lima, which is like Harvard. It's the oldest university in South America. Actually, went into operation. They got their charter. Yeah, from the King of Spain the same year as the University of Mexico. But they went into operation 1 year later. So they always hate this because then they have to say that the University of Mexico is the oldest university in the Western world. But it's like that. It's 450 years old. So very nice. A lot of work, a lot of effort. And finally we signed an agreement with them, Convenio, for 3 years to produce a festival of classical Indian culture, a Bharatiya Sanskriti. And we did 1 week for 3 years. We did everything. We did, you know, food, ladies' fashion show, history, epistemology, astrology, social sciences, hard sciences, comparative religion. It was like a Rath Yatra every day. It was incredible, incredible. Yeah. So one of those was, you know, Vedic philosophy of nature, like that, or Sankhya. Science is a philosophy of nature. It's not a natural philosophy. It's a philosophy of nature. And so our presentation was classical philosophy of nature from India, Sankhya, or how cats see ghosts. Yeah. And so we had a whole PowerPoint show. And we've been presenting it many years, like down there in South America. One of our friends was Miguel Polo. He was president, he was chairman of the Department of Philosophy of San Marcos. And he's seen the presentation, heard the presentation about two times. So the third time we did the PowerPoint show, and he said, "Now I see what you're talking about," like that. You know. We did it one time with some architects, and afterwards we did 3 days of this presentation, the philosophy of nature, Sankhya analysis, different levels, including Carl Jung, all these different Western psychologists, Ernst Poppel, showing their examples of how this actually is working like that. E.T. Hall. And so after the whole thing, 3 days with all the graduate students, we were having prasadam with everybody, and he stopped the whole dinner and he said, "Wait a second. So what you're telling me is I'm not these eyes, I'm these ears." I said, "Yeah, that's
exactly." Was it the prasadam that finally got to him? Or?
It could have been. He was eating that and he suddenly realized. Because everybody thinks the world you see is the world that is, right? And the people, most devotees begin to realize it's not like that. But maybe you can remember when you thought that what you saw, that was it. That's the world. The thing you see, that's the world. There's a house, there's a car, there's a man, there's a building, there's a window, there's grass, there's this and that, different colors, okay, you know. But then they're coming to this conclusion that sound is actually real. Yeah? And it's more real than what you see, like that. It's more substantial, more fundamental. It actually is the essence of what you see, like that. So it's a whole different show we were doing. Okay, this is how we're Jnana really enters the modern world. It's in science. People trust science. So the final synthesis of all these shows, I felt so satisfied. Everything put it together. And it was called Science, A New Direction. Because right now at Harvard, at Oxford, there's a big debate going on, you know, between Dawkins and Crowley and stuff like that. It's a big debate over what is knowledge? What is science? How to look at nature like that. So you have this PowerPoint show. Maybe at some point we can squeeze it in like that. The very last presentation we did was last week with CONCITEC, Consejeros de Ciencia y Tecnología. And it's the National Science Council in Peru. And they set the curriculum from kindergarten to postgraduate and do the funding too, like that. And so there's the head of the whole thing is a big scientist, and the second guy is an educator. And so he's our friend, Victor Carranza. And very sarcastic, but not like, a little sarcasm in his thought. Very intelligent person. He's well read in the classical literatures, Homer, all these people like that. So looking at Vedic culture, he looks at it from like, you know, very philosophical. He makes these very insightful comments, like sarcastic things like that and stuff, you know. He made one comment about you need a church for atheists, you know. We have to have churches for atheists also, he said. They can also go to church, you know. Yeah. So the last presentation was with them, and, you know, for me it was like, I did all I can do, finished. No more science preaching, like that and stuff, you know. So we have that presentation. And the other one we're doing is Hamlet and Arjuna, two princes. And that's also been very well respected. We could not find a good translation of Hamlet in Spanish. Big professors helping us, all of them dropped phrases, they did, you know. So it's been like two weeks translating some key phrases like that. You know, I don't know, you can try and translate this. Yeah, you there, yeah. In fair Verona, where we lay our scene, two families both alike in dignity, from ancient grudge break forth to new mutiny, and civil blood makes civil hands unclean. Sounds like this God, huh? Yeah, that's how we begin it. This wonderful contrast. It's just incredible, the contrast between Arjuna's view of reality, his problem. He's facing the same problem, to be or not to be, that is the question, to take arms against the sea of troubles, or die, to sleep, you know. So it's a very wonderful, stimulating contrast. Then you add to that that you have two of the greatest authors in the history of the world, William Shakespeare and Veda Vyas, and the literature, it gets so intense. There's finally a discussion in Hamlet of remarriage, like that, you know. Is it all right to get remarried?
Question.
Yeah. So Parashara says yes. After 6 years, a lady can get remarried. You know, if her husband dies, goes to a foreign country, takes sannyas. But it's third class. Second class is not to get remarried, but enjoy life, have a surfboard, you know, have fun. And first class is to, you know, commit suicide with your husband, or, you know, or what's the word, sati, or become a sannyasi like Vishnupriya. You know. But it's a big discussion in Hamlet. And the language is so intense like that. We have one lady reading the lines of Gertrude, and she just couldn't do it. She broke down. It was just so intense like that. You know? Hansa Dutta told me, the Prabhupada said, you can teach Shakespeare in Gurukula. Yeah. So it's the kind of preaching we're doing in universities, traveling like that, and very good response. You know? The ambassador of India and Chile was supporting all of our programs. He gave us his name as like a carte blanche. And the universities, of course, responded so much like that, you know. So, this whole thing, Sankirtan preaching, and knowledge is an essential part. You know, knowledge is necessary to stick to bhakti. You've got to have a wise man. Then you can stick to bhakti. Then you get a taste. Once you get the taste, okay. And then you can just do it directly like that. Thank you, sir. Yeah.
Three minutes. Regarding Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu, it stated that first quality of Uttama Bhakti is Kleshagni, and basically destroys Kutas and Bijas.
Yeah.
And it takes place on the platform of sadhana.
Ah.
So, I mean, then when you read about these sages, I mean, falling for women, you know.
Yeah.
So does that mean they never made it to the platform of Bhava? I mean, it's really reading
Bhanuswami and his commentary and David Haberman's commentary and everything else, that it's you know, also Vidyapurna Maharaj, you know, it's Adoshrada, Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya, Nartanavritti, Nishta, Ruchi, like that. So Bhava is the beginning of Uttamadhikari, you know, I understand. In different levels, you know, and initiation, we take initiation, become initiated devotees, Madhyamadhikari at Bhajana Kriya. To me, more detailed analysis. So our German mentality would be, you are Nishta, or Ruchi, or Asaktis, or Abhavas. It's like that. But not like that, it's like a curve, you know. Maybe in the beginning, you're initiated devotee, Bhajana Kriya, and Artanivritti, yeah, okay, so you still eat too much, you still, you know, watch, you know, kung fu movies, you still read ladies' fashion magazines, you know, so okay, Artanivritti. And sometimes you get a taste, and sometimes, once every 5 years, you have an experience which this is like, you know, something unbelievable. And maybe a little prema, you know. It's like that. It's just, but your doubts have really gone down. You know, you're a faithful guy, and you're really always just sticking with the devotees, the Doshrada, you know, like that. It's like that. You know, we're saying that freedom from distress, you know, and all auspiciousness appears in sadhana bhakti, but it goes on. You know, things become more auspicious in bhava bhakti. You know, and you know, so the discussion, listening from these devotees, that some of the anartas still remain until bhava. Then in bhava, then it's just burned out like that. But practically speaking, it's gone. Practically speaking, it's gone. Like that.
Because kuta is not even a specific material desire. You may not even be aware of it. It's deep buried in there. And once you exposed to a particular situation, it just pops up, and you're like, "What the heck is this now?"
And you're like, Ajamil tried to forget this prostitute, this courtesan. Ajamil tried. No, he was trying. He was chanting, "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna," but he just couldn't control himself. Yeah. So then, from the platform of Bhava Bhakti, it's impossible to have an accidental fallout. Well, you're going to break your own rule then. Say 30.
Or a little after.
Huh?
Or a little after.
Okay.
How do cats see ghosts?
Huh?
How do cats see ghosts?
How do we?
Cats. You say see ghosts.
Oh, okay.
Subtitle.
Yeah, you got to see our whole presentation. Because even, it's the whole thing. How I came to this. I started electrical engineering, changed to biological engineering, graduated in psychology, got a first place prize, started in graduate school, went head of the East, got black belt in karate, was doing, surgery on cats, all this kind of stuff. So from that, you develop this knowledge, these subtle things. So I read Prabhupada's books that all fit together. There's a whole description like that. How you can walk on water, all this kind of stuff, So, the whole thing, it's a covering. But the first covering is the mind, right? We're covered by ahankara. We're covered by perspective, buddhi. Then we think on that perspective, body of thoughts. Then we start to occupy space, right? And this is where E.T. Hall and all these guys in cross-cultural studies show you space is created by the mind. Right now, if you're touching somebody else, raise your hand. Okay, only one pair there. You are? Okay, the ladies are more intimate like that. Everybody else keeps their space, right? So many studies in different cultures, we create space from the mind. We don't think about it. It's in the buddhi, something like that, And so then, next covering is part of that becomes tactile. You can feel it, And then part of that becomes color. Color is in like that, it goes on like that, So in different species, automatically you're endowed with different combinations of these elements, space like that. So cats have a very poor sense of visual discrimination in terms of form. Dogs can watch television and see other dogs. Cats can't. They just see motion. But in terms of motion, you can't beat them. They just, any little motion, they got it like that. So they don't see ghosts. They feel them like that. So the word ghosts. Bhutas, pretas, kushmandas, vinyakas, yakshakas, vakshakas. Bhakti Suranga, Maharaj, He said he had a girlfriend who was a tribal girl from New Mexico. What do they call New Mexico? The land of?
Enchantment.
Yeah, he also called it the land of ghosts.
Land of what?
Enchantment. Land of enchantment. But there's so many subtle things there. So she was a tribal girl from that area. And he said one time he was sitting on the couch with her watching television, and she had two cats, and they were sitting next to the sofa, side by side like this, And she said, there's a spirit moving across the room. So he told me, he told her, he cut it out like that, And she told him, "You don't believe me, do you?" And he said, "No." She said, "Look at the cats." He looks out at the cats, and their heads were moving like this. And their hair was kind of standing up, So, cats, they had this very subtle tactile sense. And in karate, you learn that. The tactile sense can extend beyond the visual body. You can do that. You can kill people. And so then that's what they're doing. They're sensing with their eyes like that. So, Prabhupada, keep! So at 6:30 we have the...
Can we do 6:30? Is that where
North American premiere of a movie made by some of the best directors in Peru, The Universal Four.
God.
Introducing Light of the Bhagavad. Thank you very much.